We're continuing our series called How to Simplify Your Life, and I'm glad you came tonight. You're going to be glad you came tonight because we're going to talk about some things that I hope will help you and maybe help your thinking be a little different as far as some things. And so let's just jump right into this. Let's look at the foundation scripture, and that's found in Psalm 119, verse 130, and all of these scriptures are on your notes there, but Psalm 119, verse 130 says this: "The entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple." And we defined last week the word simple. In the Hebrew, the word simple means naive, someone that is naive concerning the challenges and complexities of life. In other words, what it means is somebody that, in the dictionary says, is not complicated or complex. I like this. I read it again today that it says that somebody that is not complicated, not complex, free of deceit or guile, and also somebody that believes every word. How many of you know God's looking for people that will believe His word? And so if that's what simple means, that's what we need to be. And so the whole point of that is this, that the word of God gives understanding and light to those of us who are open and uncomplicated. A lot of times God's trying to minister to us, to help us, to bring life-changing truths into our lives, but because of complications and our lives being so complex, we're not able to receive everything from Him that He wants us to receive. And so we're going to see that changed, and we're going to see and be able to receive the light that He wants us to have tonight in these things. And so let's just let me give you a couple more definitions just as a point of review. Let's talk about what it means to manage. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, that we are to be stewards over what God entrusts to us. And so God gives us resources that we're going to talk about in just a moment, but God gives us these things and He expects us to manage those things. We're all called to be managers. Look at the person beside you and tell them, "You're a manager." All right, so we're called to manage. So what does that mean? It means managing the organization of a resource that's been given to our disposal so that it can accomplish the desired purpose. All right, so we are responsible to manage the resources that God puts into our life. So there's three types of resources that we talked about last week that God puts into our life. The first one is time management. Time, that's a resource that all of us have, is time. And so God expects us to manage and to handle that resource the best that we possibly can. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 say this: "See then that you walk circumspectly with wisdom, not as fools, but as wise." Notice this, redeeming the time. God wants us to redeem the time, and because the days are evil. And if you look up the phrase redeem or redeeming the time, what it means is to buy up or to rescue from loss. So what God is wanting us to do is learn how to manage time so that we don't lose time. This happens to all of us. You ever kind of, maybe on Friday, you all of a sudden realize it's Friday, and then you're like, where did the week go? What did I get done this week? And so what God is wanting us to do is to not lose time, but make the most of all the time that we have. Here's the second thing God wants us to manage, and that is our resources. We all have resources, financial resources, material resources, things that God entrusts to us, materially speaking, and He wants us to manage those things so that our life is not complicated. How many of you know that if you don't manage your money, your life gets real complicated? Okay, so God wants us to manage our money. Let me just say this, God wants you to manage your money, not have your money manage you. Okay, so that's a whole different whole series of lessons there, so we won't park on that. But here's the third resource that God entrusts to us, and that is relationships. God wants us to manage our relationships. He wants us to have good relationships. And, we were just talking about this earlier before we started tonight. How many of you know that, we just spend a lot of time with family at Christmas? When relationships have not been managed properly, that there's also the opportunity for strife and that kind of thing to get in. And How many of you know that makes life complicated sometimes? You know, we were talking about how, you know, families will get together and you got family members there that don't speak to the other ones, and there's this big elephant in the room all the time. And so it just makes things complicated. But God wants us to learn how to manage our relationships so that those complications are not part of our lives. So in time, our resource, and our relationships, God wants us to keep those things as simplified as He possibly can. So let's look at what we're going to look at tonight. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Excuse me. And I'm reading from the Amplified Translation because we're going to talk about some things tonight that I really want you to get. Let's read this. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4. Through skillful and godly wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. It says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, and then parenthetically it says, a life, a home, or a family is built. So through wisdom, our lives, our homes, our families, every aspect of our lives are going to be built. And then it says, and by understanding. Say understanding. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And then he says in verse 4, and by knowledge, say knowledge. Knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So there's three words that I highlighted in these two verses that I want us to place particular importance on that we're going to look at tonight. And let me define a couple of them for you. First of all, let's talk about knowledge. Here's what knowledge is, and if you're taking notes, write this down. Knowledge is this. It's the acquisition of facts, truths, or principles. It's the acquisition of facts, truths, and principles. So when the scripture tells us that our lives should have knowledge, or that we should have knowledge, it's talking about that we should be acquiring facts, truths, and principles, information all the time. Here's the next word we looked at, and that was wisdom. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is taking the knowledge that you obtain and learning how to apply it to your life so you make good decisions. That's what wisdom is all about. Having information so that you can process it and that you can make good decisions. And so the Bible tells us that we need to have wisdom. But here's the third word, and that is this. And this word might surprise you a little bit. The word understanding. The word understanding, it means this, to organize, or mentally organize rather, or arrange, the ability to arrange information so that it connects with other information and it makes sense to you. I know that's kind of wordy, but understanding means this, the ability to mentally organize information. Okay, the ability to mentally organize information. So what the scripture, going back to what the scripture said, it said through skillful and godly wisdom, the ability to make good decisions based on the information you have is a house built, and by understanding, being able to take information and organize it in a way that it makes sense to you. It says that that's what's going to be important. So we're going to talk about understanding a lot because, and if you have your hand out there, in that definition for understanding, do me a favor, underline the word organize in there. Organize. Because really, understanding something means organizing. It means organization. Okay? So let me give you a little illustration here. I'm going to write the numbers 1 through 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I'm going to write them up here for you, okay? And you can just see, kind of, all right? I'm counting to 10 here, all right? Okay, and we got 10. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Written up on the board there. Now, to look at that, that should bother all of us a little bit. Why? Because it's not in any kind of organized manner. You know, how do you count to 10? Do you go 1, 4, 6, 10, 8, 5, 3, 2, 1, 9? No, typically when I say count to 10, your mind automatically goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Because in your mind, you have taken the information and you have organized it in a way so that it makes sense to you. So really what our mind wants to do is take that same information and do this right here. Just put it in order so that it makes sense to us. Okay? Do you follow that? Same thing, same numbers that were on the board. It's just now written in a way that it makes sense. Okay? Understanding, even where the Bible is concerned, when the Bible talks about get understanding, what he's talking about through the scriptures is what God is desiring to do is to present his information to you and you get it in an organized way so that it makes sense to you. That's what understanding is, biblically speaking. Okay? So what based on the definition that we have there, to mentally organize, what we can say then is understanding is equal to organization. Understanding is equal to organization. Now, I'm going to tie this in to simplifying your life because organization and simplifying your life go hand in hand. Now, don't freak out because I'm not going to tell you how you clean your closet, okay, or anything like that. I'm not going to get in your business like that. But I am going to teach you some things that will help you understand a little bit more about understanding. Now, I'm going to make a bold statement. If you're, again, taking notes, write this down. Wisdom will not come to you, and I'm talking about godly wisdom. Wisdom will not come to you until you're organized. Okay? Some of us are saying, man, I'm just, you know, I sit down and I read the Bible, and I'm just not getting anything out of it. I don't feel like, you know, I'm getting what the Lord is trying to say to me. And I will venture to say, and I'm going to prove it to you, that the reason that you're not getting the revelation from God that you're needing to get is because you're not organized. Now, again, it doesn't mean that your sock drawer is out of whack. All right? I'm not saying that at all. It means your life, your soul is not organized. Let me explain, okay? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Proverbs 10:23 says this, to do evil is like sport to a fool, but look at this, but a man of understanding, or I'm going to use substitute, a man of organization has wisdom. A man of understanding or organization has wisdom. Look at this verse, Proverbs 14:33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has organization. Remember, understanding is being able to take information and organize it in a way so that you can connect the dots and it makes sense to you. So wisdom rests in the heart of him who has organization. Okay? And then here's one more. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has organization. Somebody who's organized is able to see and gain wisdom. But the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Okay? So just keep this in mind. I'm building an equation for you. If you want a simplified life, then we have to have lives of organization. And I'm going to show you, and it's really simple, what organization means and what it is and how you can get it in your life. Let me show you another scripture, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. Solomon said this. He said, I went by the field of the lazy man. Now, what kind of man was this? Okay, he was lazy. And by the vineyard of the man devoid or didn't have any understanding, or he did not have organization, okay? So what Solomon is telling us is what we're getting ready to read, the guy who's lazy and the guy who doesn't have understanding are going to get the same results, okay? So let's see what it was. And there it was, his field, all overgrown with thorns, its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. In other words, it was a mess. The field was an absolute mess. When I saw it, I considered it well. In other words, I thought about it. I looked on it and received instruction. I thought about it and learned from it. And then he said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, so shall your poverty come like a prowler and your need like an armed man. So when we're lazy, what Solomon says is the lazy guy, you look at his field, and it's a mess. I mean, everything is out of whack. It's not where it's the way it's supposed to be. Stuff is grown up. The walls are thrown down. There's nothing being grown there. And then he said, the guy who doesn't have any understanding gets the same results. All right? Same important. So if you're writing this down, same thing, very important, and that is this. The lazy man and the man who was not organized achieved the same results, and those results were failure and chaos. Failure and chaos. Let me ask you a question. Is the guy who, you know, the field is falling apart, the walls falling down, if they got thorns and all kinds of bushes growing up, is that guy successful? No, he's a failure. Well, the guy that is lazy and the guy that doesn't have any organization, Solomon tells us that he's a failure. Okay? God doesn't want you to be a failure. So, and he doesn't want your life filled with failure and chaos. Okay? So look at Proverbs 16:16. It says this: how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So you have wisdom, he equates that with gold. Having organization or understanding, he equates that with silver. And so organization is second in value only to wisdom. Okay, a lot of us are crying for wisdom. We're asking God, give us wisdom. And what God is saying is, here's what I'll do. I'll give you wisdom, but first let me help you get organized. Okay, and so what we think is God wants to work on us and help us organize our clothes and, you know, just the stuff that we normally equate to organization. And God's saying, no, that's not what I mean when I say organization. Okay, we're gonna get into that. All right, have I piqued your interest just a little bit? All right, here's the word organization. Actually, let me show you a scripture. It says this in Hebrews 11:3, that God operates this way. Notice this. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, they were fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. What that means is when God stepped on the scene in Genesis 1:1 and everything was in chaos, there was darkness over the face of the deep. You can read it and you know what it says. That when he spoke and he said, let there be light, that all of a sudden, because of result of his word, that what it says is everything that was out of order, that was chaotic, and was not fulfilling its purpose, all of a sudden had to come in line, get organized, and then become fashioned, put in order, and equipped for its intended purpose. So God does the very thing that we're talking about. And what I want you to see is that, that essentially God is the most organized individual there is. Okay? Let me give you a definition for organization. I believe this is on your notes. But it means this: to put in working order, to put in working order, or to gather available elements into an arrangement. Did I put that on your notes? Okay. Organization means to put in working order, to gather available elements into a functional arrangement. Let me give you a little further explanation. What are the three resources that I told you God gives to us that we're responsible for? Time, resource, relationship. So those are just three areas. So what organization is what God requires of us or calls us to put in a working, functioning order so that it comes together and it works for us. In other words, with your money, what God wants to do is he wants to bring you to a place where our finances are in a working order and that it's functioning in the way that it's designed to function. Okay? All right, so God has called us to be organized. Now, here's the cool thing about it. God does not require you to do something that he does not give you the ability to do. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't require us to be organized if he does not give us the ability to be organized. He would be unjust if he did that. If he said, I want you to be organized and you got to figure it out on your own, then we could say to him, but I don't know how, or you didn't give me what I needed to. But the thing about it is that God gives us that ability. Now, here's what I want to do. Let me give you some points, okay? And this is going to start maybe setting your mind at ease a little bit. Here we go. We must learn to not confuse neat and tidy with being organized, okay? Now, I just shocked some of you with that one because you thought organized meant being neat and tidy, okay? It doesn't. Not at all. Being neat and tidy is part of or could be part of organization, but not necessarily. So they're two different things. So don't confuse being neat and tidy with being organized, all right? Okay, here's another one. Being organized has less to do with the way an environment looks than how effective it functions, okay? Being organized has less to do with the way an environment looks than how it functions. We think just the opposite. We think if you're organized, your environment looks neat and tidy. Okay? I've met people who were the most organized people in the world, but their environments were far from neat and tidy. Okay, so how can that be? Because see, in our understanding, we think being organized means everything is in its proper place. No, that's where you cross over and you take organization almost to an OCD thing. You know what I'm saying? You know, where people start feeling some kind of way because stuff isn't right. All right, let me help you understand. If a person can find out what he or she needs when he or she needs it, and they feel unencumbered in achieving their goals and is happy in their space, then that person is organized. Let me say that to you again, because I didn't put that in your notes, I don't think. I did? Okay, I'm smarter than I thought it was. Okay, if a person can find what he or she needs when he or she needs it, that's huge, feels unencumbered in achieving his or her goals, or is happy in his or her space, then that person is well organized. See, here's what we've done. We have one concept of what organization is, and so what we do is we try and put everybody in that box and call it organization. And we say, if your life doesn't look like this, then you're not organized. And that's not fair, because everybody organizes in a different way. Like this thing says, if it works, here's the short of it, if it works for you and you're able to accomplish your goals, then you're organized. Just because it might not look right to me, you might not organize things the way that I would organize them, does not mean that you're wrong and I'm right, or I'm wrong and you're right. It just means that you have found a means to organize your life so that it works for you and it helps you accomplish what God's called you to accomplish. Does that make sense? Let me give you, these aren't in your notes, but I wanted to just hit a couple of them. Let me give you some misconceptions about organization. Here's the first one. Misconception: organizing is a mysterious skill that only a blessed few are born with, and the rest of us are meant to suffer without it. Anybody know that person that just, you walk into their house and everything is in its place? Or, you know, you ever worked with somebody and you look at their desk and it just makes you scream because everything is, I mean, everything's so neat and orderly, and everything has its place, and there's not a bit of dirt and everything like that. See, that's what we've always equated with organization, and we've always thought, okay, there's no way I can be like that. They must have been born with a special gene that I wasn't born with, and so that's why they have that ability. That is absolutely false. Organization is not a talent that you're born with. It's a skill that you develop. Okay? When you make the decision that you want to simplify your life and therefore organize your life, it is something that you can develop. Because here's the key, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the punchline, because you are the only one that determines what works for you, you and God. Okay? I cannot look at your life and call you disorganized. It might not be the way I would organize it, but if it works for you and God, you're organized. Okay? Here's another one. Misconception: getting organized is an overwhelming, hopeless chore. Now, and I put this disclaimer out there last week. Let me just say this to you. Just because I teach this stuff does not mean I have it all together. Okay? So I'm a work in progress with this stuff as well. So just want you to know that. So, you know, if you ever look at my office or anything, you'll be like, whoa. No, just kidding. Getting organized is an overwhelming, hopeless chore. Here's the fact. Excuse me, no matter what it is that you're organizing, no matter how daunting the task or how huge the backlog, getting organized boils down to the same simple process. Okay, and we're going to talk about that process. So how many of you have ever looked at something, you know, maybe your garage or storage room or your closet or something like that, and you look at it and you go, there is no way, I'm not tackling that. And you just shut the door and pretend like it doesn't exist. Anybody ever do that? Okay, I'm guilty. Okay, and what do? We move on and we go to something else, all right? So what I want you to see is that no matter how huge that task might seem, there is a simple system that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes that will work for you. Here's another misconception. It is impossible to stay organized. It's impossible to stay organized, particularly if you have small children in your environment, you know, other people that are affecting your environment. You know, you might look at that and you might say, man, there is no way I can stay organized. Well, organization is sustainable, okay, if your system is built around the way that you think. Okay? I'm going to take the burden, a whole lot of pressure off of you tonight. Organization is sustainable if your system is built around the way that you think and is designed to grow and adapt with you as your life and your work change. Okay? It is when your system is a poor fit for you that maintaining it becomes a difficult chore. See, when we try and organize our life because that's the way we saw so-and-so organize their life, that's why it becomes a chore and we don't want to do it. Because we're trying to fit a round peg into a square hole and it will not work. There is a system that God will help you with that works for you. Might not be what everybody else does, but it works for you. And what I want you to see, it is sustainable. Here's one more. Organization or organizing is a non-productive use of time. I have more important things to do with my life or my time. Anybody ever thought that way? I have. Okay? Here's the fact is, and the fact is, in the pace that we move today, you will thrive in an organized environment. Okay? Those who are disorganized often feel overwhelmed and unsure of which way to turn. And it's just simply because their environment is disorganized. And God doesn't want it to be disorganized. Okay? Now, what I want to do is I want to just maybe let me toss out some things to you and see if any of this sounds familiar. Because what we have a tendency to do is, especially this time of year, and I don't believe this is any coincidence that we're talking about this, is that, you know, this time of year, January, or maybe coming up in the spring. Anybody do spring cleaning? Okay? Spring purging, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so what we have a tendency to do is we have knee-jerk reactions when we see an area of our life that maybe seems to be disorganized. And here's what we do. Does any of this sound familiar? You go shopping for containers to get your clutter problem under control, but you haven't measured, counted, or examined anything about how many containers you need or what you need. We just go to Target or whatever, and we just start buying plastic containers. We don't think about it ahead of time. Here's another one. You go on impulse purging sprees, ruthlessly getting rid of as much as you can to create sparse existence or more space, then to discover too late that you tossed out something that you really need. Anybody ever done that? Knee-jerk reaction. Here's another one. You adopt organizing tips from friends, magazines, books, or something you saw on Pinterest, okay, with no thought as to whether it would mesh with your personality, your situation, or your needs. Okay? Just because it's on Pinterest doesn't mean it'll work for you. Okay? All right? Here's another one. You tackle the bits and pieces of organizing of an organization problem without ever looking at the big picture of what's going on. Or how about you might be like this. You ever heard sayings or mantras like this? Reduce your possessions 50%. Or here's one that I've heard in corporate environment. Touch every piece of paper only once. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, you try and adapt that, and you'd find out, okay, I can't touch that piece of paper again. I've already touched it one time, and it doesn't work. If you haven't used it in 2 years, get rid of it. Anybody ever thought that? I've done 1 year, okay? So, or you know, you get rid of it in the hope that it will change your life forever. So if you found yourself maybe doing some of those things, let me help you a little bit. Here's the first thing I want you to see, and that is this. Write this down. Organizations begins with a mental process to produce the desired result. It begins here and here before it begins outside. Okay? Organization begins here and here. Remember, understanding is something God wants to give you. Okay? So organization begins with a mental process. Organizing means creating a system based on your specific purpose. Your personality, your needs, and your goals. Just because that person did it on Pinterest that way doesn't mean that fits with your personality. It doesn't mean that it fits with your purpose. It doesn't mean that it fits with your needs or your goals. Okay? And what I think we do sometimes is we try and attack the fruit of the issue without looking at what is maybe the reason we got disorganized. You ever ask yourself that question? You know, I walk into my study at home and you know, I have a bedroom that I've made into a study, and I look on my desk and I have one of those, you know, those little holders that you put on your desk that's about that deep and you put papers and stuff in it. And I look at that thing and I go, how did that thing get stacked up that high? Well, first of all, I live by myself, If there's anybody who did it, I did it. And so, you step back and you go, how did that get so disorganized? Well, you have to be real honest with yourself, and you have to start asking yourself the question, okay, what is the problem? Is it because I procrastinate? Is it because I get lazy? Why do I let that stuff pile up like that? And so what you really have to do, and here's a key, is you have to learn to look at the root, not the fruit. Ask yourself the question, okay, is it because I am procrastinating? And be honest. You know, and don't let your answer be, well, I'm going to think about that tomorrow. No, be honest and say, yeah, I'm guilty of procrastination. I put stuff off, and so I pile it up there just so I don't have to fool with it right now. And what I want you to understand is God wants you to help you address that root instead of just helping you put papers away. All right? Am I helping anybody tonight? Okay. All right. Okay, so here's another one. Organizing means getting organized before you buy any containers, before you put anything away, or you throw anything away. See, getting organized is before you do anything. You get organized before you take any action. Because organization is not about throwing stuff out. Organization is not about throwing papers out. Organization is not about taking stuff to Goodwill. Organization is about something that happens here and in your heart more than it is the action of doing those other things. Okay? All right, so you want to know what the plan or how to the process of organization. Anybody want to know the process of organization? We'll come back next week and we'll talk about that. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Let me give you some steps. And you know me, I'm bottom line practical on this kind of stuff. So here's what we need to do. Number one, you need to analyze. You need to analyze. Take a moment, step back, look at the environment. You know, I've been around people, I've done this some too, but I've been around some people who are just gung-ho like this. You know, they don't even think. I mean, they just dive in and start pitching stuff. I mean, and just, you know, not even really thinking about what they're doing and just jump at it, all right? What you need to do, the first thing you need to do is you need to step back, take stock of your current situation, and define where you are, where you're going, what's holding you back, and why it relates to your purpose in life. Okay? In other words, the self-examination piece that we already talked about, but analyze it, look at it, and say, okay, what is it that I'm doing, and why is the situation like it is, and then where do I want to go with this? Why am I needing to organize this, okay? Let me show you a verse in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says this, examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith, and then I love this, test yourselves. Test yourselves. You know, that's something we don't like to do. We don't like to examine and test ourselves. We want to examine and test everybody else, but we don't want to examine and test ourselves and ask ourselves, why do we do the things that we do? And sometimes we don't like the answers. But the truth of the matter is, we have to take time and we have to look at those things. So, you know, if it's something in your life that needs to be organized, you know, for instance, let me use a big example. Get away from the closet and drawers and all that kind of stuff. Let's talk about money. If your money is disorganized, you know, you're up to your neck in debt and you don't know what all's happening with your money, you know, you have to step back and you have to analyze and you have to say, first of all, what brought me here? And then secondly, why is it that I'm in this situation? Is it because I've been... I've got poor habits? Is it because I don't want to deal with it? You know, is it because I like to spend money because I'm, you know, using money as some type of way to feel better? You know, those types of things. You have to step back and you have to ask yourself hard questions like that and be honest with yourself and then ask God to help you with those things. And then if you know, especially in that area, you know, we teach financial peace here. We can help you get organized and in the area of finances and help you. So number one, the biggest thing is analyze. Don't just dive in, analyze, take a look at the full environment and ask yourself some questions. Here's number two, and that is strategize. Strategize. Create a plan of action. Create a plan of action for the physical transformation of your space, including a realistic schedule for making it happen. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and say this. I had it planned to say later on, and we'll hit it as point number four. Let me tell you what I do, because I know me, all right? I know me, okay? Anybody ever seen the movie Up? I know I've mentioned this before. Okay, you remember the dog on there? Squirrel, you know, that got so distracted so quickly and easily. Okay, that's me a lot of times. If I'm working at home and, you know, just cleaning up, you know, doing whatever I need to do, I'm very easily distracted. Now, I'm not ADD or anything like that, but, you know, I get very easily distracted. So I might be working on this over here, and then I think about, well, or one of these things points me to something over here, so then I get distracted and start working on this and totally leave this behind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. All right. So what I have had to do is start disciplining myself to where I break stuff up. All right. I break it, and I like to say it this way, break it into bite-sized chunks. Okay. And what I mean by that is, okay, listen, I don't get on a housekeeping binge in my apartment and try and clean it from one end to the other. I know me. I won't make it. I won't do it. Some of y'all, you can do that. Some of y'all get your kicks out of starting up early Saturday morning, cleaning your house from one end to the other. Not me, okay? Now, I love a clean house, but I know me. I know I won't function that way because what will happen is it'll be lunchtime. I'll sit down to eat lunch. I'll turn on the TV. There'll be a ball game on. Then I'll sit there for 2 hours watching the ball game. And the next thing I know, I've wasted a bunch of time. And then I don't feel like cleaning anything at that point. I know me. All right. So what I do is I break things up into bite-sized chunks. So what I do is I say, okay, and this is just for me, just for as far as like housekeeping is concerned. One night, I clean one bathroom. I have two bathrooms. So I pick another night because in the evening, you know, I'm working. But in the evening, I go home, I clean another bathroom. Then another night, I do laundry. Another night, I vacuum. Now, I love to vacuum. I'll vacuum all day long. You know why? You know what it is? Instant gratification. Mowing is the same way. If you ever need your lawn mowed, well, I was going to say call me, but don't. Okay. The reason being is because so much of what I do as a pastor, I don't see instant gratification. It's long-term gratification. So I love doing things that I can see instant gratification from. And guess what? When I vacuum, I can see instant gratification. I can see the little things that the carpet makes that the vacuum makes in the carpet. I can see where the vacuum has been. I can see the difference that I'm making. And so it makes me feel good. And so what I do is I have to break stuff up. So you have to come up with a strategy. Let's get a couple scriptures. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. Jesus said this, but don't begin until you count the cost. See, a lot of times we start projects, but we don't count the cost of how long it's going to take us. You know, do we really want to invest that time at that point? All those types of things. He said, for who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? So Jesus just simply said, before you start something, step back and count the cost. If you have that garage you want to clean out, count the cost. Understand that it might take you some time. It might, you know, require you having to invest a little more time. Proverbs 24:27 says this, do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. In other words, do the plan before you start to execute. Okay? Put a plan together. All right? Here's the third one, and that is attack. Attack. Go at it, all right? Methodically dive into the clutter, sorting and arranging items to reflect the way that you think. I can't emphasize this enough, guys. Do not organize the way you see Martha Stewart do it or whoever else. I love, anybody love HGTV? I love HGTV. I love Chip and Joanna Gaines, okay? Okay, but there is no way in God's green earth that I would ever end up with a living room that looks like Joanna Gaines designed it. Because I don't think that way. It amazes me how she can go into a house that looks nothing like what the end result's going to look like, and she can see all of that ahead of time. That's just amazing to me. And that is a God-given talent. But here's what, I'll beat myself up and drive myself bananas if I think that I'm going to be able to go into an environment and make it look like that. Okay? That's what works for her and Chip. I have to find what works for Brad. I have to find out what works for me. you know, that having stuff a certain way might not work for me, but I've got to figure out what works for me. And so you attack it, you sort it and arrange it, but arrange it in the way that you think, okay? Not the way that I think or anybody else thinks, making sure you see visible, dramatic results as you work. Now, why do you think that's so? Why do you think you need to see some results? Would you say, Linda? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the bottom line right there. You know what happens? When you see results, it makes you want to do more. Okay? You know, so do something. And what I encourage you to do is, you know, if you're looking at a big project, do something. And somebody says, this sure doesn't sound very spiritual. It is so spiritual, you would not be able to, I mean, wrap your brain around it, all right? But here's the thing. If you will do something interspersed that's big in the middle of that, and you can see it, and you can say, man, I accomplished something with that. It'll give you the juice that you need to continue with the task. All right, am I helping anybody? All right, so here's number four, and I mentioned this earlier. Break the project into bite-sized pieces. Break it up into bite-sized pieces. Do not try to tackle an overwhelming organizational project, you know, that's just humongous. And don't fool yourself into thinking, well, that's only going to take an hour, okay? Most likely it won't, all right? It's going to take a lot of time, and so you might need to break it up in some chunks so you don't get discouraged. Because here's the way I work, too, is if I get into a project and I'm not seeing results, if I, you know, I'm trying to work on something and I'm not, like Linda said, getting any gratification out of it, you know what I want to do? I quit because I want to go do something else. It's that whole squirrel thing again. I mean, I just get distracted. I want to go do something else. I'm not getting any gratification out of this, so let me go find something, you know, that will help me feel good about what I'm doing. You know, there's an old saying. Anybody ever heard the old saying, how do you eat the elephant? The answer is one bite at a time, okay? You eat an elephant just like you eat anything else, one bite at a time. So when you're looking at some area in your life that needs to be tackled, you know, again, I'm not harping on this for any particular reason, but, you know, looking at maybe, you know, your finances in life, if you're wanting to get organized in your finances, you know, put some bite-sized chunks, I love what Dave Ramsey says, some baby steps that will move you towards your goal of having organization in that area of your life. All right? Now, let me show you one last thing, and that is this. Get the Holy Spirit involved in your process. Here's the good thing. I'm not teaching you something that you need to do on your own. I'm teaching you something that God wants to help you with. And He doesn't want you to have to figure out all this stuff on your own. I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures that and point out a couple of things so maybe it'll help you understand. I mean, you've heard this scripture. If you've been around church all your, you know, from any time at all, you know this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own organization. Ever thought about that? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own way of organizing. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Here's the thing. If you'll give God the chance, He'll show you how to organize. Again, there is nobody in the universe that's more organized than He is. And you have Him living on the inside of you. He knows how to work with you. He knows how to your situation. He knows exactly what you're facing. So don't lean. Now, use your common sense. Don't misunderstand me. But lean on Him and get His help. So here's another one. And this one is really cool from the Amplified Bible. Isaiah 11, 1 through 3. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, David's father, and a branch out of his root shall grow and bear fruit. And talking about Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And then Isaiah prophesies and describes some characteristics of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. He's the Spirit of wisdom and organization. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of organization. Somebody says it says understanding. It's the same thing. All right? The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. And look at this. And He shall make him of quick organization. See, if you don't get God's help, there's a lot of times you'll spin your wheels and it'll become frustrating to you. God says that He'll help you by His Spirit and give you quick organization. There's something about the Holy Spirit. He's able to minister wisdom to us in ways and means that if we will allow Him, it could expedite so many things in our lives where we just kind of spin our wheels and we go through. And shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. And here's the last thing I want to say to you, and that is this. You have the chief organizer on the inside of you. You have the chief organizer on the inside of you. As I've said, there's nobody that's more organized than your Heavenly Father is. And He came to live and dwell on the inside of you through His Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit help you. Now, here's the thing, okay, and I got to put this out there, okay? If He starts dealing with you about an area of your life to maybe get some understanding and organization in, and you don't do anything about it, guess what He's going to do? He's going to back away from it. And you're going to be frustrated because you're like, man, why does this area of my life always seem to be off and just, you know, not the way that it needs to be? Because what happened is you stepped away. So all you got to do is you got to say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I ask you to forgive me. Help me, Holy Spirit. And what he'll do is he'll step right back in there with you. And then the next time he shows you that area, say, okay, I know. Here's what we're going to do. And so help me, Lord. And just what you need to do is I encourage you, read through the book of Proverbs and read through some of the epistles. And every time you see the word understanding, I want it to click in the side of your head and say organization, because that's what understanding is. All right. Have I helped you at all tonight? I want you to simplify your life. And the best way that you're going to begin that process is to grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding or organization. Okay? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, we thank you again that you love us so much that you don't want our lives in disarray. Father, you want our lives to work and function so that we can fulfill the intended purpose for which you've called us. And Lord, I thank you that everybody here tonight has a great purpose on their life. And so, Father, I thank you that you will help us, that you will lead us and guide us and show us exactly what we need to do to make our lives the way that they should be, organized, filled with wisdom, filled with knowledge and instruction, Lord, so that we can fulfill that purpose. And Father, we just thank you for it. Thank you for loving us that much, that you don't want us to have to figure this out on our own, that you gave us your Spirit to live in us, to help us and to lead us and guide us. And I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. I thank you that they are blessed of heaven. And Lord, I thank you that as we leave here tonight, we thank you that the angels are encamped round about us to protect us and to keep us safe. And Father, we will be mindful to just give you praise for bringing us back together again. And Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. We give you thanks for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.